It is good to see everyone out this Lord's Day morning as we are assembled to worship God in spirit and in truth. God has indeed blessed us with another Lord's Day, another opportunity. Some of our number are sick and continuing to deal with ongoing sicknesses and seasonal problems, and we need to remember them in our thoughts and our prayers. Our household as a whole, we are getting better. It's been a rough week for us, but we're not going through anything that others aren't going through as well. It is good to see those who are able to be out and to attend. I'm sure to be announced later on. We've drawn your attention to it in the bulletin. I'll make you aware of it at this time as well. Our gospel meeting is fast approaching. It starts in just 3 weeks. Brother Mickey Galloway from Lancaster, California will be with us and will be preaching God's Word to us. Gospel meetings are special events as far as I'm concerned. As a gospel preacher just starting out, it didn't take me very long to develop or arrange my calendar around gospel meetings, generally having one in the spring and then one in the fall. And I looked forward to one. And when it was over with, I looked forward to the next one and worked and preached basically from meeting to meeting. And I like to have that kind of arrangement in my work. I like to focus on the gospel meetings. And that's really what I want us to do with our lesson this morning. I want to talk about the power of an invitation and the power that each and every one of us here this morning has to do what we can to fill up this building during our gospel meeting. The Bible closes. The Bible comes to an end with an invitation. In the book of Revelation at chapter 22 and at verse 17, we read, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." The Bible closes with an invitation. Very simply put, come. It is an invitation that we see is extended by the Holy Spirit. Every time the gospel is preached, the Holy Spirit is extending this invitation to sinful man to come unto the kingdom and to come to the presence and the glory of God. It is extended also by the church, the bride of Christ. Collectively, whenever we assemble and the gospel is preached and we sing an invitation song, we are inviting others to come. But that invitation needs to be extended also by individuals. Let him who hears say, come. Those of us who have heard the invitation and who have responded to the gospel call, and we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, we are to extend this invitation as well. And in extending a simple invitation, I hope that we realize that we are simply following in the footsteps of Jesus and His disciples. In John chapter 1, the Gospel of John in chapter 1, starting at verse 35, we read, "Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, What do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, Come and see." A simple invitation. Here were two who were inquisitive. They were wondering about Jesus, and He called them on that, and He told them simply, come and see. Now, I want you to notice what the response to this invitation started. Andrew, we read in verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And of course, he brings Peter unto Jesus, and Jesus says that he should be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. But Andrew, after responding to the Lord's invitation himself, very quickly offers an invitation of his own to his brother Peter. We read on in verse 43 about Philip. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." That simple invitation, that simple response. And of course he did. He went unto Jesus and he began to follow Jesus. Now we see the Lord extending an invitation, and it is effective. And we see His disciples extending invitations as well, and they are effective. We see good men, high-standing men extending invitations. I'm not like that. Someone might say, I'm not like the Lord. I'm not like one of His disciples. Well, what about the Samaritan woman in chapter 4? Here is a woman who was in sin. She was in sin. She was in a marriage, or was not even in a marriage, was living with a man, had been married several times previously, was not even a Jew. In spending some time with Jesus, she came to understand that He was the Messiah. He was the one that she and her countrymen were looking for. Down in verse 28 of this chapter, it says, "The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, 'Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did.'" Could this be the Christ? Here's a woman with her low estate. Number one, she's a woman in a culture that did not give the social standing to women that our culture does today. She was a woman who was in sin. That's the reason she was there at that particular time of the day drawing water from that well, because she didn't want to be there. The respectable women went in the morning, and she was not welcome with them. But she shows up into town excited about what she has found, and she says, "Come and see." And we read down a few verses, verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.'" She invited them to come, said what she had found, and many came to believe in Him because of that. I want to impress you this morning with the fact that an invitation, although very simple, is extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. And has a way of bringing individuals to Christ that no other way and no other method does. We want to see the church grow. Our brethren want to see their local churches grow. Those in denominationalism want to see their churches grow. And it's interesting to see the different things, the different methods that are put forth, sometimes even by our own brethren, and to contrast that with what is the most effective way of bringing others to Christ and causing the church to grow. A number of years ago, there was a survey that was done by the Institute for American Church Growth. And they surveyed 10,000 churchgoers. You need to understand that this encompasses denominationalism. These weren't 10,000 members of the Lord's church who were surveyed. There may have been some Christians in the midst, or in the mix of them, but this was across denominational boards and encompassed those of different churches. And they were asked the question, what was responsible for your coming to Christ and this church? What made you come here? What made you become a Christian? Now, what I want us to focus on is the responses that were given. 2% had a special need. Maybe it was to pay the light bill, maybe it was counseling, whatever it may have been. 2% came to that church and came to Christ because they had a special need. They were looking for a special need. 3% just walked in. They were just driving by or just walking by. That literally happened when we were in Edna. A couple of years ago, we baptized a man after a worship service. He came forward for the invitation. He was literally walking through town and was at our steps when the services began and came in, heard the gospel, and responded in obedience to the invitation. This is a very humbling figure here. 6% liked the preacher or liked the minister. As much as I might like that number to be bigger, there it is. So, we got to get a big name preacher. We got to get just the right guy. We got to get the guy that can speak the best or looks the best or this or that. 6%. That's not a lot of success if we're looking at it from a business point of view. 1% visited there. That is, they saw the church, they saw the sign, they saw the ad in the paper, the yellow pages, and they decide, you know, I want to go there Sunday. 1%. 5% like the Sunday school or like the Bible class programs. I want to tell you, it's important that we have a good, strong Bible class program. But to build that up and to even be on the verge of doing things that are questionable or unscriptural for the sake of growing the church, 5%, that's not a large number. 3% like the programs. I'll tell you, when I look at the churches around about, and I consider the churches in different communities, they like the programs, don't they? They like to offer this to the community and that to the community, and you name it, they've got a program for it, or if you want it and they don't, they'll have it pretty soon. Even some of my own brethren are getting caught up in this idea of offering programs to the church in one way or another. 3%. That's not a lot of success. But you know, the overwhelmingly largest response, 79%, almost 80% said they were there because a friend or a relative said, come and see. All the different things that we might attribute to the growth of a church, or all the different things that we might want to try in order to get the church to grow, to kind of spark it or jumpstart it, it pales in comparison to just simply inviting people to come and to see. A personal invitation has power. That can't be denied whether we look at the scriptures or we look at statistics. An invitation, you telling someone that you know, would you like to come to church with me? That has a lot of power. I want us to consider why it has power. What is the power behind a personal invitation? You or I inviting people that we know to come to services with us. What's the power? Well, number one, a personal invitation meets a great need. That invitation that was extended there at the end of the book of Revelation that we looked at as our study began. Anyone who thirsts, let him come. I'm made to understand that there is no greater urge or need in the human body than hunger and thirst. And brethren, there are people around about us. I imagine people that you know and love right now who are thirsting. They are hungering and they are thirsting. They may not know what to call it. They may not even realize what it is, but they are hungering and thirsting for the forgiveness of their sins and for reconciliation with God. This invitation that it comes forth from heaven, from God's throne, it is significant because it is, number one, universal. Whosoever. Whosoever, let him come. And number two, it's free. Let him come and partake of the water of life freely. And that appeals to people, and that makes a connection with people who are hungering and who are thirsting. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. And let's look at verses 28 through 30. And I want to show you another time that the Lord extended an invitation. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus extends this invitation to all who labor and are heavy laden. And there were people then in Jesus' day who were laboring under a triple burden. Number one, they were laboring under the burden of unforgiven sin. Secondly, they were laboring under the burden of a law that could not take away their sin. The law of Moses could not give forgiveness of sins. And third, they were laboring under imposed traditions and regulations that were stacked on top of that law that they had absolutely no hope of keeping to the satisfaction of others. And Jesus cries out, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And many people responded to Jesus. He connected with them because He knew what they needed. They needed that rest. You go out the doors of this building this morning, and you're going to look around about you, and you're going to see many of those same people today. They are burdened with the guilt of sin. And they are burdened with the void in their life, which can only be filled by reconciliation with God. They have sinful habits that they can't seem to break. They have nothing constructive and no positive direction in which to aim their life. An invitation to come and to see Jesus provides what they are looking for. It fills that need in their life. An invitation is powerful because it meets a great need. Do you know people who need to be forgiven of their sins? Do you know people who need to be reconciled unto God? You do. Secondly, an invitation has power because it expresses a personal interest. You've heard the adage, I have as well, no one cares what you know until they know that you care. Inviting someone to come to services with you tells them that you care about them. So much so that you want to share this part of your life, which is very important to you, with them. And you want them to come and to be a part of it. There are some people who just need a place to fit in. There are some people who are looking for that. Looking for the association, the fellowship. And an invitation is a means of them finding what they are looking for. And I want to tell you, brethren, that this requires a personal invitation. Did you realize that every church in Beaver Creek is extending an invitation to the community at large? You drive by their building and they've got a sign out front announcing the times of services. What are they doing? They're inviting everyone to come. They put an ad in the newspaper and they put an ad in the yellow pages. What are they doing? They're inviting everyone to come. How effective is that invitation? Well, according to the chart that we looked at just a moment ago, 1%. That's not very effective. In the business world, you'd get rid of that kind of an approach pretty quickly, wouldn't you? An invitation at large is not a personal invitation. A church has not fulfilled the Great Commission by building a building and putting a sign out front announcing when the services are going to begin. You remember the old movie Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner? He's out there in Iowa in the cornfield and he hears that whisper come across the field, "Build it and He will come." That might work in that movie, but it doesn't work in the Lord's church. You build it, and they drive around it. But you invite them, and they will come. You invite them, and they will come. Every one of them? No. Of course not every one of them. But they're certainly not going to come if you don't invite them. It requires a personal invitation. In Luke chapter 14, verses 21 through 23. Luke chapter 14, verses 21 through 23. This is the parable of the Great Supper. in which the master of the house had invited guests to come. And when the supper time came around, when the time for the feast came, they rejected. They offered excuses for why they couldn't respond to the invitation. And so, verse 21, so that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Let those last few words sink into your heart. We want the Lord's house filled. Not just on the Lord's day. Every time we assemble, we want it filled. What do we have to do? We must go out and compel others to come in. We must go out and invite them to come. People are not going to come until they are invited to come. Third, and personal invitation is powerful because it is non-threatening. Do you know anyone, any brother or sister in Christ who has the ability to drive people away? I do. I know some brethren like that. I can think of a couple in Arkansas that I know who, bless their hearts, they're as zealous for the Lord as they can be. But they've got about as much tact as a bull in a china shop. And the last thing that you want to do when there's a visitor there or there's a prospect there is allow them to come into contact with those brethren. And it's unfortunate, but some brethren need to learn some tact. A personal invitation is about as non-offensive a way of reaching others for Christ as there can be. Most people don't like to have their faith challenged. Some like to fight. They like to bust heads just for the sake of fighting. But it's been my experience, most people don't necessarily like having their faith challenged. They don't like to be told that they and everyone that they love are going to hell and that they ought to come to church with you. That just isn't going to work. But a simple invitation to come. You know, we're having a gospel meeting in a few weeks. And he's been here before and he preaches good lessons. And I know some lessons he's going to preach, and I'd like for you to come. Would you like to come one night? Matter of fact, I'll come pick you up if you'd like. I'd be glad to do that. In our Bible class, we're studying the life of Christ, and we're really getting a lot out of it. And you've asked me questions in the past about Jesus and about the things that he did or taught. And you know that'd be a perfect opportunity for you to come. I think you'd enjoy that class. Would you like to come? Just a simple invitation. And after they come, and they sit, and they're challenged by the things that they hear, they may begin to ask you questions, but you know what? They're the ones bringing it up, not you. And sometimes that makes all the difference in the world. I'm not threatened when people invite me to go and to do things. I don't feel that my faith is being challenged when someone simply invites me to go along with them or to attend a service with them. An invitation, a personal invitation, is powerful because it is non-threatening. And finally, and here's where those of you who thought you were going to get off the hook don't get off. A personal invitation requires almost no knowledge or skill. Now, it requires a lot of courage. A lot of courage. And it requires a lot of love for those who are lost. But it doesn't take a lot of skill to invite someone to come to services with you. And you don't have to be able to understand every verse in the book of Romans in order to say, hey, would you like to come to services with me this Sunday? You seem kind of down. I'm picked up when I attend services. Maybe you'd like to come with. That doesn't require any knowledge of the Scripture. Doesn't require any skill at all. Think about Andrew and Philip from John chapter 1, where we were at earlier in our lesson. Andrew hadn't spent but just a few hours with the Lord. And yet the first thing he does is he goes in and gets Peter. And he tells Peter, we found the Messiah. Now, did Andrew understand everything about Jesus? No. There's no way he could have. But he knew enough about Jesus to know that they'd found the Messiah. With that limited knowledge, he went and he got his brother and brought him to Jesus. You know, we don't know a whole lot about Andrew, but we know a lot about Peter. But there would have been no Peter if there hadn't been an Andrew who said, "Come and see." And Philip, remember Philip went to Nathanael and said, "We have found him, Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Well, then Philip, he opened up his Bible and he went back to the Scriptures, back to the prophets, and he talked about Jesus. No. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Well, Philip, first thing he did is he set up a 13-class home Bible study with answers and questions and flip charts and Jewel Miller film strips and however you want to call it. No. Whenever Nathanael asked the question in a sarcastic way, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" What did Philip say? "Come and see." Someone asks you a question, you invite them to services, and they begin to ask you questions about the rapture. Or they begin to ask you questions about instrumental music. Or they begin to ask you questions about grace or this or that. Just come and see. Come and see. No skill, no knowledge is required in that, but a lot of courage and a lot of love. Andrew and Philip, they didn't know a lot, but they were excited about what they did know. Are you excited about being a child of God? Are you excited about the gospel meeting that is coming up and the opportunity that we will have to be together every day of that week and to worship God and to study from His Word? That excitement is what rings through more than anything that we might profess to know. Come and see. A simple response. That's the power of a personal invitation. That can't be replaced with that sign out in front of the building or with an ad we might put in the newspaper or on the radio. It can't be replaced by anything like that. It's something that we do as individuals. But don't underestimate the power, because it meets a great need. It expresses personal interest. It's non-threatening. And it requires limited knowledge and skill. Brethren, our meeting has been scheduled for a long time. Longer than I've been here. We've known that it's coming, and it's coming upon us quickly. If we haven't already, we need to get started. We need to get started inviting people. The gospel meeting has been planned, and flyers are available. They've been placed at both locations where the bulletins can be found. You can pick up flyers to use, and more can be printed. Take as many as you think that you will need. More can be printed. Let's be thinking about people that we know. Who do you know? You know a lot more people than you think you do. Make a list in your mind. Or better yet, make a list on paper. Write those names down. Pray for those individuals. And invite them to come to services. And let us do our part. Brother Galloway is doing his part. He's going to bring some good, basic lessons that people need to hear. He's going to do his part. We need to do our part. We need to be inviting people to come and to hear the gospel being preached. Maybe there's someone here this morning who is not yet a Christian. And instead of being encouraged to extend an invitation yourself, you find that you're in a position where you need to respond to what the Lord has to offer. You're sitting there this morning, you're saying, "You know, I'm thirsting now. I'm laboring under a burden right now. And this rest, and this water, that sounds like what I need." If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I want you to know that you're well on your way to finding that water of life. But you've got to respond to His invitation to come unto Him on His terms. If you believe that He's the Son of God, would you not do what He tells you to do in order to be saved? to repent of your sins, as he says in Luke 13 and verse 3, to confess with your mouth what you believe about his identity, as he says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, and to be buried in the waters of baptism, to have your sins washed away, as Jesus commands in Mark 16 and verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Heaven's invitation is extended to you. You need only to respond in obedience. If you understand what you need to do, and you're ready to do it now, we'd be glad to help you and to assist you in your obedience to the gospel. Maybe you've done that in the past, but you've become unfaithful. You realize you've not been living the life that you should, and you've not been trying to win others to Christ, and you need to repent. I would encourage you to repent. If your life is of such a nature, your need, spiritual need, is of such a nature that you need to respond in a public way for our prayers and for our encouragement, I want you to know that you're among friends. And we'd be glad to pray with you and glad to help you and glad to encourage you. Whatever your need is, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing this.